NATO says it's reviewing all ties with Russia.
The accident scene tells the story. There it is.
Chinese ambassador tweeting.
Overnight, it was a joyride.
Ukraine has seen a lot of changes in a short amount of...
What should I listen?
Confused about different news sources? Radio CUZ English Weekly Focus will bring you selected and organized news from home and abroad, only on every Monday.
Good evening, welcome to Weekly Focus with news around China and the world. I'm Chen Zhuang.
And I'm Wang Ruochen. Today's Monday, May 11th, the 10th week of this term.
Here is the roundup of the latest news coming up next 30 minutes.
Almost 100 Tsinghua University students have signed a pledge to advocate gender equality at an event held at the university to launch United Nations-backed solidarity campaign He for She in China.
Berta Clark, Regional Director of UN Women Asia Pacific, said at the event, "While the pledge is symbolic, specific action is encouraged to contribute to social change."
The authorities in Nepal say more than 3,500 people are now known to have died in Saturday's catastrophic earthquake.
If you walk into the market areas, you can see people sitting on the curb. All people are just walking around. It looks as if almost nobody in the city is indoors at any given moment.
On April the 26th and 27th, our university's Nepalese major students put up a campaign to raise money for the earthquake strike in Nepal.
After the earthquake, we were really anxious and wondered what we could do, because we ourselves couldn't go to the striking area.
And comment on Expo Milan 2015.
Milan's World Fair really has petty ambitions. Well, the biggest of them is to devise a plan to fit the planet, as the world's exhibition brings together 145 nations to focus on food and nutrition.
And this is Weekly Focus.
Good evening. Welcome to Weekly Review.
First of all, let's check the campus news.
On April 26th and 27th, our university's Nepalese major students put up a campaign to raise money for the earthquake strike in Nepal. They raised money by holding charity sales and launching a crowdfunding activity on the internet. Up to now, the campaign has been successful and the amount of money raised has been out of their expect. Our correspondent Deng Tianyue will bring you more details.
We know the campaign has been successful and you used different methods in order to raise money. How did you prepare the campaign? What did you do? After the earthquake, we were really anxious and wondered what we could do, because we ourselves couldn't go to the striking area. Considering we brought some souvenirs from Nepal, all classmates and teachers donated the souvenirs. And our classmate Liu Mocheng made some postcards with the pictures he took in Nepal while hiking in the mountains. We put up a sale with these things.
The crowdfunding is a major resource of the money, and it's also a new method which has just been known in recent years. How did you come up with the idea?
After the disaster, we discussed in WeChat group how to help Nepal. We talked about several methods and finally we saw that crowdfunding is the most effective and convenient way. Up to now, we have raised around 30,000 RMB through crowdfunding.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Tianyue. In the campaign, we should thank not only the students, but also the people who are always prepared to give a helping hand. We hope the campaign will truly help Nepal and bring both material and spiritual encouragement to the victims.
The famous documentary director Gu Tao came to CUC and gave the students a speech about the era we're in. Gu Tao is an independent documentary director. Some of his films, such as The Vacation of Hugo and Enderhan, have won great awards. The director has shown us the film Enderhan during the speech. Our correspondent Huang Aiping was there.
I am now in the number 28 building and listening to the speech presented by the famous director Gu Tao. The director now is showing us a documentary, Enderhan, which talks about the ethnic women in the northeast part of China. So I'm going to ask some questions to the director.
What made you decide to spend 7 years to make the documentary?
I did not choose a topic or character thinking that I'm a documentary director, and I did not record this story because I want to make a documentary. When I was a teenager, I used to help my dad develop films, and I saw this ethnic living freely and happily in the forest. They were really close to the nature.
Now the speech is over. I'm going to interview some of the students today, how they felt after listening to the speech.
The speaker just now has talked about that we should find a career that we really like instead of doing things that others expect us to do. But we know that it is not easy to put into practice in our real life. So what is your opinion and your choice?
Sadly, most of us today chose to do what others expect us to do, rather than what we really want to do. For that could ingratiate your parents, your whole family, but what we are really interested in. Sometimes when I feel tired, I always wonder, what should I really pursue? But today's speech is a really good reminder to me, I think.
That's all the information I've got. Back to you, studio.
Thank you, Aiping. Gu Tao's speech is definitely a reminder to us all that we should always stick to what we are passionate about, and we appreciate the story and the suggestions shared by him. We sincerely hope more activities of this kind will be held in CUC.
Okay, let's look at the domestic news. Almost 100 Tsinghua University students have signed a pledge to advocate gender equality at an event held at the university to launch United Nations-backed solidarity campaign He for She in China.
Berta Clark, Regional Director of UN Women Asia Pacific, said at the event, "While the pledge is symbolic, specific action is encouraged to contribute to social change." Clark called on those who sign up to define what they will do to make a difference. She distinctly referred to the issues of gender inequality, including a preference for boys, which has led to a skewed sex ratio in China.
The campaign is aimed mainly at males engaging men and boys in removing the social and cultural barriers that prevent women and girls from achieving their full potential. The organizers of He for She claim to have received gender equality commitments from hundreds of thousands of men around the world, including heads of state, CEOs, and global luminaries, since it was launched in September.
A mass crop failure was reported in rice fields. Significant crop loss hit almost 700 hectares of rice fields last year in Anhui Province, a major rice producer in East China. It was caused by rice blast, a deadly disease affecting cultivated rice. The ill strains were developed by Yuan Longping's hybrid rice.
In the worst-hit areas, the yield of rice plummeted from 7,500 kilograms per hectare in average years to 750 kilograms per hectare last year, or even to none. Local farmers blamed misleading advertisements for their loss. On the package of seeds sold to farmers, the ad claims the strains have high disease resistance levels, with an incidence rate of 25%. But inside the package, a piece of paper is attached which says the seeds are of level 9 disease resistance, suggesting the possibility of catching a disease is as high as 100%.
In response, the Yuan Longping High-Tech Agriculture Company said the poor yields in autumn harvest season last year was mainly a result of natural disaster, which affected not only rice fields of the hybrid rice strains developed by the company, but also other varieties.
Okay, let's look at the international news. The authorities in Nepal say more than 3,500 people are now known to have died in a Saturday's catastrophic earthquake. But as rescuers reach the more remote areas, it's feared the figure could rise further. With more aftershocks, many frightened residents of the capital opted to spend Sunday night in vast tented settlements.
Even in the smarter neighborhoods, there are people who set out little carpets or brought their mattresses out in front of their homes and have been staying there through the day, through the night. If you walk into the market areas, you can see people sitting on the curb. All people are just walking around. It looks as if almost nobody in the city is indoors at any given moment. Now, what the authorities are getting very concerned about is the lack of clean drinking water. In a couple of camps that I've visited, I've seen water tankers drive up and long queues of people waiting patiently to fill up little jerry cans of water. And the government has asked the international community to try and send water along with tents at the earliest.
People in hundreds of remote hillside communities are thought to have been left homeless, but help is still to reach them. The aid agency, Plan Asia, has managed to go into some of these communities. Siyendra Kiyaster, their program unit manager, is in Bangalore, 270 kilometers west of Kathmandu. He said that the Red Cross has been providing accommodation and medical supplies.
In Indonesia, 9 convicted drug dealers have received a 3-day notice of their execution on an island off the coast of Java. All but one of them are foreigners. They are from Nigeria, Australia, Brazil, and the Philippines. French national won a 2-week reprieve over the weekend. Their imminent executions have led to diplomatic protests and charges of unfair trials, but their plan to be carried out by firing squad and with great ceremony as part of a national campaign by Indonesia's president against drug abuse.
Well, the president is determined to carry out the execution because he says that the country is in national emergency of drug abuse. He claims that there are about 30 people who die of drug abuse every day. And it doesn't seem to matter to him that the statistics that he based that number on has been called into question. And also there's domestic politics. Joko Widodo was elected last year with popular support, but his approval ratings have plummeted in just 6 months in office. And even though Indonesia's death penalty has been widely criticized overseas, most Indonesians don't have a problem with the government executing drug smugglers and murderers as the law currently allows. And if the government call off the executions, there will be serious political consequences here in Indonesia.
In addition to criticism of the death penalty from the president of France and criticism of Australia, a UN special rapporteur says the trials typically were unfair.
Okay, let's move on to the weekly news minute. Guangyuan Zhichun, which is one of the biggest festivals in CUC, is going to have its final this Friday. There are 12 competitors in the final.
Communication University of China and Beijing International Studies University just had a friendly football game this Wednesday at BISU's football field.
President Xi Jinping on last Tuesday called on the Red Cross Society of China to promote reform and innovation and give sincere care to people in need.
Chinese stocks tumbled on Tuesday, with the benchmark Shanghai Index losing 4.1%, its biggest retreat since January, on fears that the new initial public offering might drain market liquidity.
Migrants arriving on the Italian island of Sicily on last Tuesday said around 40 others traveling with them have died on the journey, a Save the Children spokeswoman said.
Vietnamese President Thong Thien Sung will visit Russia to attend the 70th anniversary of the victory of the Great Patriotic War at the invitation of the Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin, Vietnam state-run news agency VNA reported on Tuesday.
Okay, that's the end of weekly review. Next will be sports and entertainment news.
So nice to meet you again. Let's go through some fresh sports news. China's Deng Yaolan won gold in women's bouts at the Gymnastic World Challenge Cup on Sao Paulo on Saturday. The 16-year-old claimed the title with an average score of 14.962 points from her two jumps. Brazil's Rebeca Andrade took silver, and Chile's Francesca Santi finished third. On the men's side, Brazil's Angelo Azucar won gold on the men's bouts with a mean score of 15.025 points, and China's Shi Huan was fifth. In the men's parallel bars, Germany's Lukas Stelzer took gold with a 15.750 points average. China's Xu Xiaodong clinched silver. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers selected Florida State University quarterback Jameis Winston in the first overall pick of the 2015 NFL Draft in Chicago, Illinois on Thursday. The 21-year-old says he's very happy to be a member of the football community.
I think it's just a family time, you know, and being and great men like Derrick Brooks and Coach Lovie Smith himself and people like Mike Allstar make that town the way it is, you know, and that's part of the football community. And I look forward to getting involved in the football community, even the Tampa Bay community itself. So I was blessed to have those men in my life before this process started.
Jameis Winston was the youngest player to win a Heisman Trophy and helped lead Florida State to victory in the 2014 BCS National Championship game. The Buccaneers have missed the playoffs for the past 7 seasons and haven't won a postseason game since the club's Super Bowl run in 2002. Australian football coach Mick Malthouse was due to coach his 750th match on Friday, breaking the all-time record for games coached in the Australian Football League. The previous record was set by legendary coach Joe McHale, who coached the team for 714 matches. Friday's match was expected to be enjoyed by more than 80,000 people at Melbourne Cricket Ground. 61-year-old Malthouse began his coaching career in 1984, and he has since coached 3 Premiership winner sides and made 8 grand final appearances. A former footballer himself, Malthouse started his legal journey in 1972. He played 174 games with Richmond and Santa Kilda. Florida Mayweather confirmed his place among the pantheon of boxing greats by improving to 48 wins and no losses with an unanimous decision over Manny Pacquiao on Saturday at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Speaking after the fight, Mayweather says Pacquiao is remarkable, but he had what it took to win.
He's a remarkable fighter. He's an unbelievable fighter. But I can't just say that he's the toughest fighter that I face. And I can't say he's the hardest puncher that I face. But I can see why he's where he's at in the sport, to whereas it just as little moves that he tried to make in the fight, but with me having so much experience boxing so many different styles, I can counter and calculate his moves.
The belt marked Mayweather's 11th consecutive fight at the MGM, but it was Pacquiao who enjoyed a massive edge in support. Even though he was humbled by a shoulder injury, the fight is considered the richest belt in boxing history. Solo revenue was projected to reach $400 million. That's all for sport. Let's move on to the entertainment.
Welcome to the weekly entertainment. Stick to the channel, and I will bring you a terrific show tonight. The Supreme Court of America has heard the arguments on gay marriage on April 28th. During arguments, one of the conservative justices opposed it on the grounds that they didn't have gay marriage in ancient Greece. It was interrupted by a man screaming, "You will burn in hell!" After calming him down, Justice Scalia said, "Sorry, haven't had my coffee yet." An anti-gay politician has been caught sending a picture of his penis to another man on Grindr, an all-gay dating site. The senator defended himself by saying, "I just wanted to show people on Grindr what a non-gay penis looked like, and people should appreciate the difference." It was reported that 1 in 4 Americans didn't exercise at all in the past years. When Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, heard this, he said, "Hey, maybe I can be the president, because I think I can lead these lazy people." North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has reportedly had 15 of his top officials executed. So the lesson here is, when Kim Jong-un comes into work with a new haircut, you tell him, "Looking good, looking real good." These days, McDonald's, they have been going through a lot of changes. They just announced that they were simplifying their menu to speed up service. That's why a McDonald's spokesperson said, "Because our customers don't have much time left." The Pope is in the news. Pope Francis visited a Buddhist temple in Sri Lanka. When asked about why did he go to a Buddhist temple, the Pope said, "Just keeping my options open. It's a dicey job market, you never know." There is an interesting statement. Do you know why the May 4th movement broke out? Someone joked that it was because people could only have a 3-day break since the International Labor Day on May 1st, and they had to go back to work or school with anger on May 4th. A doctor from China helped the patients who fell down and got injured for free in America and was appraised by the Chinese people. When interviewed by Chinese media, he explained that was because, being a doctor, he could earn much in America. even if he was blackmailed by the patient, he still can afford. Expo Milan 2015 opened on May 1st and will last for about 6 months. Now Italy is having a party and the world is invited. Our commentator Yan Bingxuan and Peng Xinzhu will comment on this issue.
Dear audience, welcome to Weekly Commentary. I'm Yan Bingxuan.
And I'm Peng Xinzhu.
Xinzhu, do you know about the Expo Milan 2015 opened recently?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, but I bet you can never expect the theme this time.
You're starting to interest me. What is it then?
The answer is food.
Really? That sounds tempting. But why did you choose food as the theme?
Well, speaking of the theme this time, Milan's World's Fair really has petty ambitions, while the biggest of them is to devise a plan to fit the planet as the World's Exhibition brings together 145 nations to focus on food and nutrition.
That's meaningful. I've heard that the global food problem is prominent in recent years.
So it seems for sure that visitors in any case will get to sample a bounty of Italian culinary delights.
Certainly, but actually on the other hand, the city officials of Milan also hope that the fair will give Italy's fashion and banking capital a boost in international stature.
No wonder. They always hope that a big event like this will benefit the city, even the whole country.
Quite agree. I've heard the Italian government has invested 1.3 billion euros in this exhibition, hoping that it will help push Italy out of its economy doldrums.
There are already some pleasing changes taking place inside Milan. Now the city has undergone an intensive urban renewal. Just imagine a cluster of skyscrapers now rises above the city's predominant 18th century architecture, competing in majesty with the background of Italian Alps. How nice!
That's not all. The city has also cleaned up its canals, a centerpiece of Milan's nightlife, and added bike paths and large public parks. They even renovated its monumental train station.
Cool, then. What about the exhibition site?
Prosperous, I think. More than 200 new buildings have been built at the expo site north of the city, giving some of the world's top architects a blank slate for their creative realms.
But as far as I know, all the buildings have to be removed and recycled after the fair. That must be troublesome.
Oh, come on, don't worry about that. I've heard about some interesting resolutions.
Really?
Well, for example, Angola plans to ship its pavilion home to become a national museum. And the U.S. pavilion, designed by architect James Beaver, will have stakes of weathered boardwalk planks available for the highest bidder.
That's amazing.
Actually, the similar creative idea is also demonstrated on Glorious Food. Well, that's the main role. Officials have estimated that Expo 2015 will pump 25 billion euro into the economy from 2012 through 2020.
That's nearly half of that from tourism alone.
Yeah. So this will bound to do huge good to an economy that slipped into recession last year.
Uh-huh. Especially when culinary tourism has long been Italy's strong point.
And according to a management professor at Rome's LUISS University, Cosmato Caroli, the nation's food and wine business is expected to get a biggest lift out of Expo.
Maybe that's why Italy founder Oscar Ferranti has created 15 regional restaurants for a culinary tour of the peninsula inside the Expo.
Maybe. And besides the tempting food tour, a plethora of events will also keep visitors engaged beyond Expo's gate.
Well, would you like to give us an example?
I happen to know an exhibit of work by Leonardo da Vinci in Milan's Flavelli. It's billed as the largest Leonardo exposition ever in Italy, with over 200 works on loan from museums worldwide.
Wow, that's cool.
Wait, that's not yet the end. Giorgio Armani also shows something. He has invited his VIP guests to an exclusive fashion show on the eve of Expo and opens a museum recounting the 40 years history of his fashion business. And you know the famed La Scala Opera House?
Of course, what's that?
Good news, it has also announced a special Expo series that will keep it open all summer, starting with May 1st, performance of Puccini's Turandot. conducted by La Scala's new chief conductor and future musical director, Ricardo Celli.
Sounds brilliant. All in all, with the elaborate devotion of all the nations involved in the exposition, I do believe that this fair will do great and that all the visitors will enjoy the time they spent in Milan more than they've expected.
That's all for Weekly Commentary. Thanks for listening. I'm commentator Peng Xinchu.
And I'm Yan Bingxuan. See you next week.
Thank you, Bingxuan and Xinchu. We will offer you some living tips at the end of our program.
The weather is becoming gradually hotter. Don't forget to take a sun umbrella with you when getting out.
These are the selected news brought to you by Weekly Focus. Thank you for being with us for the past half an hour.
Next week, Weekly Focus will continue to help you review and foresee from Weekly Focus.
Focuses on China and the world, only on Weekly Focus. I'm Chen Zhuang, see you.
And I'm Wang Luochen, see you. You're listening to Weekly Focus. Tomorrow, Seacom Down will bring you Top 5, Mustatic, Classic and Classical, Mumu Mumu and Tai Wei. Just lock in our radio at FM 89.3. Every Tuesday night, Music Fest is waiting for you.
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。